Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
It is March 2nd, 2018. This is Danielle Sather, and I am here with Florence Sather, and we are going to talk about our family history here at Mom and Dad, Kathy and Dennis Sather's house.
Okay, Grandma. Let's start with your family heritage. So where is your mom and dad from?
My dad and mother both were born in Sweden. They came from Sweden. My mother lived close to Stockholm, that's where she lived. And my dad lived northern Sweden, which was Dalarna. Yeah, it was the northern part of Sweden. That's where my dad was born and raised, in Dalarna, like a county. Mm-hmm. And then my mother was born and raised close to Stockholm.
And when did they come over to America? Did they tell you anything about what their journey was like when they decided to do that?
Well, they didn't know each other in Sweden.
Oh, okay.
They both came and landed in Duluth, Minnesota on the boat. They were on different boats. And they got off in Duluth, Minnesota. They met, and my dad talked Swedish and my mother talked Swedish, so that got them acquainted right away. Mm-hmm. Evidently, they didn't speak English. They both spoke just Swedish. So they met in Duluth. They both spoke Swedish. So they ended up marrying, and they had five kids, and I was the youngest of the five.
Mm-hmm. How much older was your oldest sibling?
My sister was the oldest, and she was 15 years older than me.
Yeah. And did...
What was her name?
Agnes. Agnes Wallen.
Ask the names of all of her brothers and sisters.
Yeah, what are the names of all of your other siblings?
Well, Agnes, the oldest, then my brother Gordon, my brother Carl, and my brother Sherman, and me, five of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you ever go visit Sweden?
No, I never had the chance, never had the desire, and never got over there. So I never met my grandparents.
Mm-hmm. And did they ever come over here to visit?
Oh, no, they could not afford it.
Yeah.
They were more like farmers. They had a farm, and they couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm. And did your parents ever learn to speak English, or did they always speak Swedish?
They always spoke Swedish as far as I knew. They never, my mother and dad spoke Swedish. Until I was in senior high, I took Swedish in my senior high school, Denville High School. But when I come home and spoke it, see, it was taught differently. It wasn't pure Swedish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought your dad spoke English when he lived with us in Mound.
Oh, yeah. My mother and dad both spoke English, definitely. They came to America and spoke Swedish, but they married, and then they had us five kids, and they had us going to school, elementary, and graduated from high school, and I got 2 years of, I wanted to be a teacher, so, well, maybe I should wait until you ask me.
Well, I mean, we'll get there.
Yeah.
So what was your favorite part of childhood? Do you have one particular memory that you just really love?
We used to play out in the corner. We lived on streets, you know, 22nd Avenue West and 6th Street, and then it was 7th Street and 8th Street. And in the evening, usually a little before it was dark, Mm-hmm. We neighbor kids came out in the court in the corner and played tag or hide and seek. You know, somebody'd be it and we'd all run and hide and they'd have to find us. I mean, it was real kid, real community kid stuff. Yeah.
Do you remember, you were pretty young when the Great Depression was happening, right? Yeah, do you remember any of that?
We did have to end up at our little corner grocery store and ask if we could have a charge card, a charge, and he agreed to it if we'd paid it once every month. But we had to ask him, could we charge our groceries, you know, so that we had enough to get us by.
Yeah.
See? So.
And Grandpa, or your dad had a job during the Depression?
He loaded and unloaded boats that came into Duluth from overseas. Or any boats that came and they had to be unloaded, he went up to the dock, every lakeshore dock, every morning, and if they had boats, he loaded and got paid. And he walked, never owned a car, never bought a car. So he walked a good 2 miles, 22nd Avenue West, to Lake Avenue to work every day and walked home. I don't know what he got paid an hour, but I know on payday, I shouldn't tell you this, but on payday, we had a Michigan Street was the first street up from Lake Superior, and then the main street was Superior Street. Well, as soon as they got paid on payday, then my dad went right up to the bar, one of the bars on Michigan Street, and cashed his check, and everybody can have a free drink.
On your dad?
A free drink. He didn't want to drink alone, and he didn't hardly know the guys, just casually working with them. So my mother said, we have to put a stop to this, because he was spending several dollars.
Yeah.
So she said, you're going to come with me, and we're going to meet him. When he's done work on payday, you and I are meeting him, and we're taking him home. So we all had to walk home because we didn't have a car.
How but fun.
We got the check home anyway.
Yeah. That's all that matters, right?
He wasn't an alcoholic, but he sure liked to go up on payday and say, a drink is on me. It was like tapping himself on the
back. That's one way to make friends.
Yeah. But they worked all day, so unless he visited over their sandwiches that they carried for lunch. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he didn't have time to talk. They work.
Yeah, that's a hard job.
Loading and unloading.
At the docks,
He didn't unload in Superior.
Unloaded in Duluth.
Superior.
Superior's across the bay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But that's cold wind coming in during the winter time.
Yeah.
Hard work.
Yikes.
Were you close with your siblings growing up? Did you all play together, or?
Well, I will tell you one thing. I didn't hear until, I was probably a teenager. And then I'd go to a friend's house, and these mothers would to their kids, I love you, I love you. I never heard so much I love you in my life. I thought, what in the, it was like an epidemic. My mother and dad never, I loved you, I loved you, I loved you. They fed us and took care of us. So, that was funny.
So, growing up, you wanted to be a teacher then?
Oh, yeah, when I liked school.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be a teacher. So, it was $14 a quarter at Duluth State Teachers College, which was uptown, we called it. We lived on the west end, or on one end of town. So I had to take the bus, I think it was streetcar first, and get to the college each day, and $14 a quarter, so to us it was expensive. It was poor times. And I went 2 years. War came on. And then they called me one day from the college and said, you will be teaching in a country school outside of the little town of Barnum down on Highway 61. I says, I've only got 2 years of training. You have to teach. We haven't got teachers in the war zone. You have to take it. So I went from electric lights and running water to no lights and out and well water.
And was this before or after you met Grandpa?
When I was teaching, his family lived, Bill, a farmer boy, dated me. I remember several nights, and this Friday night, he dated me, and where he took me to was just a tavern. They sold beer or whatever you bought. And him and I were sitting there, and in walks Don, my husband, and goes to the bar and gets a bottle of beer. And then he turns around and he sees Bill, his neighbor. So high and over he comes. And then Bill introduced Don to me that I was a new teacher. And I liked him. I just liked him. So going home, I thought to myself all the way driving home with Bill, I'm going back to Duluth every weekend on Friday night until Sunday night or Sunday. I'd have to go back to school and teach on Monday. But I thought, I found out that Don lived just south of my mother's on 2nd Street, and they lived up on 6th Street in Duluth. So I took it upon myself to call. Don, would you like to come up and play 500 with my mother and dad and me? Yeah. So evidently he knew how to play because there was no problem. He came up and we played. And then the next thing I knew, he said, how about you and I go to a walk to a movie? He didn't have a car. I said, okay. So we walked to a movie, and then he'd come up and play cards again. And so this went on. My folks did not object because they liked him, you know. And so it was love at first sight.
Yeah.
You asked him out. How fun.
Yeah, called him to
that was rare
cards.
Back then.
Oh, I wasn't like the gals now. They do everything, every motion they can to attract a guy. Forget it.
You just went after what you wanted, Grandma. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I went for him the way the girls now get on Facebook and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's a lot of Facebook.
Because Michelle.
But anyhow, let's get back to Dad.
So stop.
Dad lived in Duluth, just blocks away.
Yeah, he lived on 2nd Street. 2nd Street and 20. Let's see, he was over on 23rd Avenue West and 2nd Street renting a bedroom. And my folks lived on 22nd Avenue West. He was 23rd and we were 22nd. And we were up on 6th Street and he was on 2nd. So he, you know, could walk up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, and he didn't mind coming. So he evidently knew how to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he came, and then of course he took it upon himself to say, "Let's walk to a movie some night." So,
and this did at this point did Grandpa know he was going to war, or was this was before?
Well, Grandpa didn't go to war.
Oh, he didn't go to war.
No,
he just was he my, drafted or enlisted?
My dad didn't go to war, but Grandpa, husband went.
Yes, yeah. You're Don.
Yeah. No, how it was. They were having a draft in Duluth of 20 guys to go volunteer to go in the service. So we were just casually dating. Mm-hmm. So he said he was going to volunteer and be one of those 20. And he wanted to get into the Marines. He thought he could tell them, I want to be a Marine. Well, he got, they called him, but they put him out in California in the Army. So he didn't get his Marines.
I have a picture of him as a Marine.
Yeah, he's a Marine. Yeah.
Well, I think that after he trained a while in California, then they, you know,
transferred him to the Marines?
Yeah, he probably said he wanted to be a Marine, because he did.
Because the Marine basic training is in California. The Army's is in Georgia.
Well, another thing was that, what was it? Dad wanted to be, he didn't have enough math. I think he wanted to get in the Air Force, but he didn't have enough math.
Does it matter that you have that kind of stuff going into service? Well, I didn't know that. I thought you just, you know.
Especially for a pilot.
He wanted to fly.
Yeah, so. I know Dad. I have his picture on my wall. I have Dad.
Yeah.
I have my dad, and I have Dennis, and it's Marine, Navy, Air Force. Ooh, yeah, they're hanging on my, you haven't been back to my desk, but I have a lot of pictures, and Grandpa was a Marine.
Yeah.
Or at least that's the picture I have of him.
Yeah.
So how long was Grandpa gone for then? So he had basic training.
Yeah. He was called to go in the service. I mean, he volunteered. He was gone for 20 months. They shipped him overseas. So we wrote, and he kept writing back. And one time I was slow in between two letters. I didn't write one the next day. And he told me when he got home that he feared that it was going to be a Dear John, you know.
Oh, no.
But it was that I was slow and didn't get the letter out that day.
Yeah.
But he kept answering. So.
And where was Grandpa stationed all that time?
There. He wasn't. I know he went up to Guadalcanal delivering beer to the guys, and boy, they like to see that ship come in. But he was on a different island. Mm-hmm. But he was delivering beer to to Guadalcanal.
Yeah. And then, so Grandpa came back, and did you just start casually dating again, or did you know you wanted to marry him?
How was it? Well, the trouble was, the government, they had in our paper, learned to be an electrical engineer. We want people to come to the University of Minnesota and learn electrical engineering. And of course, it was a newspaper ad, so I answered it. And they called me and they took me down to the U. And I had algebra, so I had enough math. And so I got down to the U and I met whatever his name was. It was a Minneapolis boy from Hopkins. And start dating me, even gave me his graduation ring to wear. And Don was writing and I was answering, but I didn't dare tell him about this other one.
Oh, that was a secret.
No, I didn't until he sent a special, telegram, I'm coming home. So then I had to tell Jim, sorry, Jim, I guess we have to break up. Yeah. So, and then he came home.
Kitty, no.
Oh, she wants to eat your greens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he wrote he was coming home. He telegraphed, I'm coming home. And never mentioned getting married until he got to Minneapolis, and then he called me in Duluth and said, can you come down to Minneapolis? Okay, yeah, can you meet me in Minneapolis when I get there? So I did. And then when we were in Minneapolis together, I don't recall, but I think we even stayed in a hotel room together. And then he was saying that, let's get married. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the start of it. I got home to Duluth and told my mother I was going to marry him. And, well, you can't. You get that takes time. That takes time. That takes time. Well, just had our mothers and our father. And we had our minister and his wife in our church, in our church. And so there was the six of us at the wedding. And then we took them to the Hotel Duluth, those six, to have supper with us. Well, then, yeah, that's right. We got married, and we took them to supper at the Hotel Duluth. Mm-hmm. And then him and I stayed in the Hotel Duluth, because 5 years later, I called to the Hotel Duluth, and I said, we'd like to have the same room as the night we were married. And they sanctioned it. But when we went, came and walked in that room, it looked like a little box.
Oh, no.
But the night we were married, it looked like
it
a real room.
It seems so big.
Yeah, it looked like a real room. Yeah, that was funny.
And when you got married, what year did you get married?
1944.
Yeah. At that time, were weddings pretty a lot smaller than people have them now, or?
No, they were sending out wedding invitations, and they were making, you know, white gown and two or three attendants, but my folks couldn't afford, they didn't have it, they couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
My dad didn't work in the wintertime where there was no loading boat or unloading boats, so he didn't have a job in the winter, so he shoveled. He called the city of Duluth and asked if they would call him to shovel for them, which they did. So he got, he was shoveling snow all winter. That's how he made his money. So, and we just had our folks. That's why I kept telling my girls as they were getting bigger that the wedding doesn't make the marriage. That all we were, it was just our folks there at ours, and we lasted 58 years.
Yep. So after you and Grandpa got married, what did you do? Did you get a house in Duluth, or what did you do?
My folks lived on 6th Street, and we found a house on 4th Street that we could rent. Don was just out of the service, and we found a house on 4th Street we could rent. And then when the owner of the house was collecting the rent, he says, I've got this house now for sale for any veteran that wants to buy it. And then we said, well, can we? And then he says, if you'd want to. It was just two floors, one bedroom in each, top and bottom floor, and $4,000.
To buy the house?
Oh, yeah, it was cheap. It was cheap. It was a two-story house, one bedroom, and then a basement. And I had a Lester Carlson went to school with me, all through school with me. So when he heard that we had bought it, he came and asked me, can I rent your basement? And I says, well, it's a basement. Well, he says, I just got married and we have to find a place to live. So they rented the basement, and we liked that. It was money in our pocket.
Wow.
Payments. Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember how much you charged him for rent?
It wasn't much. I bet we were charging him $25.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It was cheap.
That's a steal.
Yeah. I bet our payment on the house was $50. Yeah. And then if they had the other... the other floor rented out in the basement, and then we had the basement. Well,
it's a way to do it. Pay off your loan for the house.
Yeah.
You live there rent free. Well,
I say any gal that buys a house now, she knows she'll have a guy at her door getting very friendly. All he's looking for is a place to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta figure them out.
Yeah, you can't just let them move in, especially if you're doing well for yourself.
Always do the research.
So after you got married, you didn't go back to teach. You didn't do any more teaching, right?
No, I taught only that year for $70 a month, and no lights and no running water. They said, we'll give you $100 a month if you'll stay. One room country school and outdoor biffy. And I says, no thanks.
Yeah.
No. I says, I'm going back to Duluth where I have lights and water. That 1 year was enough.
And then, so did you stop doing the electrical engineering program too?
Yeah. I went down to the university and I signed, I did all their tests and learning that they gave me. And Jim and I were in all our classes together, and we were pretty friendly, so I wasn't lonesome. I had a friend down there. But when Don wrote, I would have it, if I had kept my apartment, I would have that telegram, I'm coming home. Boy, I just told Jim. Well, Jim had signed up to volunteer for the service, so he was waiting to be called in. Mm-hmm. But I was wearing his graduation ring, high school ring. But I told him I have to give it back because I got a friend, a special friend coming back.
Yeah.
So.
The love at first sight friend.
Yeah. But the thing is, there are different people. You know, like Jim wasn't, you know.
He wasn't a hugger?
He wasn't a lover.
Ah, yeah.
But I did have Cliff Johnson that took me Friday night to the 10-cent movie in our neighborhood. And see, every Friday night he got me home. We had a glassed-in porch on my folks' house. He always gave me a kiss goodnight.
Yeah.
But Jim wasn't a... He wasn't sentimental.
Mm-hmm. The grandpa.
But grandpa, yeah. Was grandpa a lover? Very sentimental?
Oh, he was a lover.
Yeah.
He loved... Even after we were married, we'd ride in the car from Duluth to Minneapolis, 100-and-some miles. He'd grab my hand. There he was, holding my hand for no reason.
Aww.
Yeah. So after you got married, how long until you had Donnie?
Well, we were married July 3rd, and Donnie was born on July 16th, a year later.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did Grandpa want a big family?
Well, I didn't know it at that time. We had the three kids, and then I just told him right out, I'm going to the doctor and have my tubes tied. And I just told him that that's what I was going to do because they say your body's yours, your body. And the doctor says, oh, I got to talk to your husband. So I told Don he wants to see you. So when Don got in there, the doctor just told him, your wife doesn't want any more children. She wants her cords tied. Then Don says, no. He says, they're God-given. We're going to have everyone we can have. That's just exactly what he told that doctor. Of course, it was family doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor knew he meant it. He knew I meant no more kids. But he knew that Don...
when he went with
Don,
Grandpa.
Yeah. So when he came home, I guess I said, what did you tell the doctor? And he says, I just told the doctor they're God-given and we're going to have everyone we can have. And I had the three, so then I was blessed with the two youngest.
Yep. Yeah. Two more.
Yeah.
And after all the kids were born, what was your favorite memory of them as kids?
Well, they were, well, Den.
Mine.
He was the first one that wanted a keg of beer. I mean, this is high school.
Of course he did.
He was the first one that wanted a keg of beer in the driveway on Friday night for all the boyfriends. And even the neighbor kids didn't do that.
He was your wild child, it sounds like.
Yeah, he was. Dad bought a snowmobile, and he wore it so much that
it wore out
the runners. Huh. He took it to school, and I'm telling you, he just wore it ragged.
So did he buy that for Dennis, or did he buy it for the family?
He bought it for himself, you know.
Oh, Dennis bought it, or Grandpa did?
No, Grandpa bought it.
For himself.
But wore it out.
Yeah, how funny.
And then in the winter time, what did everyone do to keep busy with all the snow?
Oh, I love skating. And I had the long, we called them longhorns, the long stages in the Olympics. They had this extended.
Yeah, where they kind of wrap up around.
Well, ours went straight out.
Okay.
Yeah. And we called them longhorns, but that's what I skated on.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a skating rink 6 blocks away every winter. They watered the lot, and it froze. And then they had a house, a warming house for us, and a man in charge of the keep a fire going.
Nice.
Yeah. So I skated. I skated all my younger years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even after the children. Is that how all of them learned how to skate, or?
Well, I think I encouraged their skating, but I didn't force them to, but I did encourage them to skate, and I think they all did too.
So did you go out and skate with them? Did you and the kids go skating?
No, they went skating at the same rink I skated at, but they'd go with a neighbor kid, yeah, so.
And are there, do you remember from when either from your childhood or from when your kids were kids, what some of your favorite movies or songs on the radio were?
Yeah. I know I loved Elvis Presley's songs. And I saw him impersonated in Colorado when I was out there. There was an impersonator. And that impersonator, we sat, I bet you we were the fourth row. I wanted to be close. Elvis jumped all the time. He never sat still. He was busy all the time, singing and dancing. And I was surprised. I thought he was overly active. See, of course, I didn't get to many of those shows. But that one I did get to see, and I liked it. I loved his songs.
Mm-hmm. And then, let's see, do you have any questions?
Well, let's see.
Well, then, movie stars.
Who were your favorite movie stars in your era?
Well, there were cowboy movies. Mm-hmm. Was it John Wayne?
Yeah, John Wayne was a cowboy.
I know that, and Don liked him, so we just followed every movie. If we didn't go to it, we'd watch it on television when they played it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do you remember when TVs first came out? What did you think?
Well, my husband worked at Marsha Wells Hardware. And it was a hardware store, and they got in television, black and white televisions. And we bought one right then. And then when the neighbors heard that, then they all called, want to see your television, because they hadn't bought one. So then we'd call and say, well, come over, it's on. But they'd get over there, and it did fade out. And they were exasperated, but we didn't know. You know, it was one of the first ones in Duluth,
mm-hmm.
Black and white, and we did have to end up putting in a new picture tube because we played it so much. Yeah.
Did you let all the kids watch TV? Did they love it?
Yeah, but I don't recall that they sat for 4 hours and watched it. No, I think they were active enough with the neighbor kids, mm-hmm. if it wasn't baseball or something. That they were
hockey.
Sitting in the house.
Yeah.
Played a lot of hockey, too.
Yeah.
And raced.
Right.
He got in a lot of trouble racing. around town as he was a teenager.
And were all of your kids close growing up, or did they fight? Were some of them close?
Well, if they were in the other room and they were carrying, I could hear they were carrying on. I always just hollered, if you don't be quiet or stop it, I'm coming in there and you're all going to get a spank. And I sprained his finger more than once.
Oh, no.
On their butt. But my brother kept reminding me, don't you ever hit him on the head. Don't you ever hit him on the head. Because he'd come and I'd be spanking their butts. I got plenty of swats.
Did you have to spank any of them more than others?
Well, no, I think they all got that beating that I promised them when I called. But then when Don called from work every day, I said I had to spank the kids. And he says, well, why don't you find, and I said I sprained my finger, well, why don't you find that 12-inch ruler? Grab that and give it to them. You know, he figured I should use that on their buttons.
Yeah, your hand.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were the disciplinarian, and Grandpa waited and let you do it all?
Yeah, oh, they loved their dad. They had every reason in the world.
So Dad let you do the disciplining.
Yeah, yeah.
How funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, even though you didn't teach anymore, did you enjoy teaching your own kids? Like, did you read to them, or?
No, I regret that. Because now when my kids started having kids, they were reading these books with all the action in them and everything. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't want to spend a quarter for a book. I wasn't a reader, and I wasn't, you know, I didn't do much reading when I was carrying the five kids. But I've sure done a lot of reading since. But then I have magnifying glasses, and I buy big print.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And... okay, who was the first to get married of your... Donnie was the first to get married?
Yeah. He met her at the University of Minnesota. And how was it? What was it her mother said when Don asked her if he could marry Betsy? Oh, I think she said, if I remember, they were both going to university. And I think she just told him right out, not until she gets her diploma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 That's smart.
Yeah.
And Reed is your first grandchild.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is it easier having grandkids than it was raising kids? Did you enjoy that more?
Well, this is the best part. When one of the kids would call and say, will you come and babysit, will you babysit our kids Friday night for the weekend? Then Don would just say to me, tell him the answer. We will, but we will come to your place and feed them your food and use your clothes. And they'll be at home in their own beds. He was willing to babysit them, but he wanted to be at their place taking care of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was changing, Lisa's diaper, and Reed was her brother was there, and he was a couple of years older. And I said, if you don't lay still when I change you, I'm going to spank you. Oh, my mother doesn't spank us. I said, I don't care what your mother does. If she doesn't lay still and I can get this diaper on, she's going to be spanked.
Did you have to spank her, or did she lay still?
Oh, then she laid still. I guess I scared her.
I wonder if Elise still remembers that. Like,
well, the thing is, I wonder if they ever touched... See, maybe I could have been... Maybe a neighbor could have complained to the authorities that she's hurting her kids.
That never happened.
Did people do that as much?
I don't think they did that back then, did they?
I know people are a lot more sensitive now about spankings and stuff.
Because somebody can complain.
They
don't even have to know who it is. No. They can say, hey, and it doesn't even have to be true. You know, some, like me at work, if I see bruises on a child, that the child might be on a thinner, you know, a blood thinner, and it might have bruises everywhere where I have to report it.
So they have to.
Yeah, I have to report
it. Is it for you or is it for mom?
We were just talking about spankings.
We were doing, communicating.
But you didn't grow up with all of your grandkids nearby, so.
But I did have, like, 2 grandkids. I had 5 kids, and 2 of those grandkids would have a child at the same time. It was funny. I'd have 2 at a time, 2 at a time, 2 at a time.
And then it kind of staggered for a little while. And Michael and Michelle came around, and then Amanda, and Rachel.
Yeah.
Were we the only ones who... Because Donnie and Beth lived in Minnesota then for a while?
Well, he went to the University of Minnesota, but then he got a job from Honeywell right away. Brought him to Colorado, and
that's where they moved to.
Yeah, they moved out of me.
And then, in all your years, because you've had children and grandchildren all over the country, what has been your favorite place to travel to? You've had a lot of travels.
Hawaii.
Is this
you or is this grandma?
I was just helping her.
I know, yeah, my grandma.
We were lucky enough that Debbie was in the Air Force and we could fly to Hawaii free. So Dad and I took advantage of it, and one of the kids joined us, one of our other kids joined us, so we were playing cards there. Well, we went to Hawaii twice. Yeah, Hawaii would be the place.
That would be one, and then the other was Panama City.
To see you.
I would make them guacamole, and they love that.
Yeah.
And you fished out of Panama City, didn't you?
Destin.
And the fish was, what'd you call it?
Grouper.
Grouper. Do you ever have grouper now?
Yeah. I mean, we can go to Esmeralda's and get grouper. That's my favorite fish, Grandma, it's because of him fishing. He used to bring back just slabs of grouper, and I'd just grill it, and we'd eat on it all day long off the grill on the boat, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good times. They were really good times.
Tampa was good. Remember Christmas at Deb's?
Yeah, but I've told
And they you. Turned the power off because she was part of that electrical...
Freeze.
You know, where they could do it. They could turn her off because she was part of this discount program. So we couldn't cook the turkey for the Christmas.
We went to church. Street lights were off and red and green stoplights.
Yeah.
And then you said, where are our Bibles? We never carried our Bibles along. And they didn't have them in the church at that time.
We used to run fellowship, so we always worked out of the Bible. We always had a Bible with us. We were always reading out of the Bible.
And we always told everybody, bring your Bible.
Yeah, so that's how we did our church. But
I told them that, I don't know why she wanted this, but I told her so that you were the first kid that I've ever known to have a keg of beer in the driveway for the neighborhood kids on Friday night.
How did you afford that?
Me?
Yeah. How did you buy beer at that time?
Yeah, really. Really?
Yeah.
I worked at Red Owl.
Yeah, and that's what you spent all your money on was a keg of beer?
But they didn't sell beer. Red Owl was a grocery store.
No.
He was doing something bad, Grandma. That's what it sounds like.
Well, how about
you
the time?
He must have had an older kid that bought it for him.
What was your secret, Dad?
Older kid that had the...
Was that true?
Sure.
Is that it?
Well, how did they buy beer? How did you buy beer and you had it in the driveway? How did it come?
How did your dad allow you to do that with all the kids in the neighborhood drinking beer on the property?
We graduated,
yeah.
So we're out of high school.
They were 18 now.
The state of Minnesota lowered the drinking age to 18.
So you just said, party at my house, whether my mom and dad like it or not? Oh, geez, sorry, Grandma.
That's an attack, Kitty.
Kitty, get over
here. Oh, are you going to try to get up, too?
No,
she would.
Animals. So after all your kids had already moved out, what was your favorite thing to do with Grandpa? Just the two of you.
No.
Well, I made it very clear that we're retired and we're going out every day for lunch. And he says, why? I said, so we know there's other people in the world. I said, if we go out to lunch, we'll see other people. If we stay home, we won't. So.
Did you go out every day?
Practically. And then, I said, you can have what you want. You can have what you want, and I'll have my fish if I want.
Yeah.
And we went out a lot at noon, and it was cheaper to... The prices at noon were cheaper, and I made it very clear now we're retired and we're only going to be tipping $1. And that's why my son-in-law, or my son and my daughter-in-law in Colorado, the last time I was out there, she says, we quit going out to eat because that tipping was running into too much money.
Wow. A lot of money. Yeah.
Excuse me, kitty.
Okay, Grandma. Huh? We've talked about a bunch of different stories. You're 97. Do you have any words of wisdom that you would like to share with everyone before we sign off?
Please start saving a coffee can or a glass jar and put in $1 every day starting tomorrow, because I want to get in a nursing home now. And I only get $2,000 a month sent to me. Mm-hmm. And they won't take me because they want three.
They, Mom thinks they won't take her, but Donna has found two places that'll take her.
You know, where's that at? Did Donna call you and tell you that?
Ernstfield. Okay. Pass. Hold on. So... saving is good. Make sure you save for retirement. Yeah,
definitely. Especially if you're going to be a loner like me.
And you have been telling me the last couple of weeks some good advice about love. What did Grandpa do every night before bed?
Oh, that was the best one. When I get into bed at night, if I'm mad at him, mad about something, and I can stay mad and be mad, I just would lay down and put my arm under my pillow and I wouldn't face him. Then his arm goes around. I love you, Floss. I love you, Floss. Rain or shine. He did not want us angry in the morning.
No.
He didn't want us angry in the morning. But when I get mad, I can get pretty mad.
Are you saying, Grandma, you have a temper?
My granddaughter, Lily, her husband has said to her now, since he's heard this, he has said to her, he tells me, you know, last Thursday night I told Lily to get up and call you at 10 o'clock. She was so mad at me.
Stephanie.
Yep. Yeah, I want to say Lily, but it's Lily, her daughter, that plays the violin.
Yep.
And it's because, like I told the girls, it's because Don doesn't want us angry in the morning.
Nope. Don't want to be angry in the morning. Nope. All right, Grandma. We love you. Thank you for letting me interview you and kind of get to share some of this history.
Yeah.
We're going to send this out to everyone. Grandma's 97, going on 98.
In November.
All right, signing off.